Service tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's great to feel the presence of the Lord.
Oh, yes. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Now I need all you boys up here on these front seats, okay? Come on. No, Brother Melvin, you're fine. You can sit there because you're not going to get to sit there long, so you can sit there right now. Come on, Christopher, right over here. Wesley, come on. You're going to come over here and sit down and be still tonight. Come on. Brother Ricky's going to preach to you a little bit. Hey, I don't want y'all talking. I want y'all laughing. I want you listening, all right? There's really not too many of you going to get a set anywhere too long, probably. You probably better enjoy this one because this one's going to be the better of the two, all right? So enjoy this one. And this will be the first. The boys asked me when I was there. So we'll send this one, the very first one. So please send us your CDs of your preaching up here to school so we can listen to them and pass them around. And I said, all right, I can do that. We can do that. So this will be the first one to go to school. Book of Matthew chapter 11. Stan, I'm going to read a little bit tonight. I'm going to read several scriptures. And I'm going to tell you right now, honey, you ought to pray a little bit. I don't have not one note written down. I've just got the scriptures I need to read, and I'm going to read all of them right here at the first. And then I'm going to preach to you. The last two mornings, I've prayed and I've wept over this message. I started it before I left. I told you I was working on this, and I started it before I left. It seemed like I just kept praying and fasting and asking the Lord to help me. And I felt like yesterday morning early that He gave me the rest of what I needed to say. Book of Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Mark chapter 3, verse number 23. He called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, the house cannot stand. If Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor, his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Verse number 15. And it came to pass that when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass that from that time forth, and the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the seals, and the bows, and the harbingons, and the rulers were behind all of the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, that they bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one of them had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And then Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, I'm just going to read the first part of this verse, and you can quote it, and I can quote it. And this is where I'm going to take my text tonight from all of this reading that I've done to you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'm going to preach to you just a little while. We're going to pray before you sit down. I'm going to preach to you just for a little while your vision, your ministry, your vision, your work. Your vision, your work. Father, I pray that you would help me just for a little while this evening. I need the touch of God. I need the help of the Lord. I need the favor of God. I pray that I could have the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. As I began to preach and as I opened the lids of God's Bible tonight, I pray, oh God, that you would settle down in this service and that you would meet us at the altar in just a little while. I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, I know that sometimes, and you know I love to shout, and I encourage you to shout, okay? But I want to make a couple statements to you right here at the beginning of service. And Brother Thomas Smith, when he was here at Revival, he was talking to me, and one day when we were talking, and I said to him, you know, my church shouts and they worship a lot, and I love that. But I don't let them go overhand on the shouting without a little bit of preaching in there too. Because we are not begotten by the shout. And we are not begotten by singing. Singing and shouting is worship, and that's part of it. But I want to tell you that our faith is built by the Word of God. I want to tell you that instruction for life is given by the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to pay a bit of attention to the clock tonight. And so I wish it wasn't even there right now. And so don't turn around, because I'm going to stay here until I get finished tonight, all right? But I want you to know that we gear, and sometimes we push so much for the shout. Brother Thomas said to me, he said, I went to a church, and when I went there to revival, and he said, the pastor told me, he said, we shout every service. He said, we don't have preaching maybe one service a month, and we just shout, and we shout. And Brother Thomas said it was not 6 months till that church had a split and just about was gone, and that pastor was gone. You cannot survive on shout. Amen. And so tonight, I'm just going to come right down, and I'm going to preach to us tonight. There's not any ministers. We're all home folks. And I'm just going to lay it down on us tonight, all right? So I'm going to do a little pastoral preaching, and I'm just going to talk to us. Now, you look around you this evening. At this building that you see, this building is not our church. Do you hear me? This building is not our church. Dustin yesterday, while we were eating, or day before, and I believe it was yesterday, his thinking is half right. All right. And I corrected him, as a pastor should. He said, I can't hardly wait to get out of school and to get home. And he was wanting to preach. That was the main number one goal. And I said, now, let me tell you something. It's not all preach. Come on now, come near me. It's called work and preach. Come on. Now, some people feel like that the ministry gives them a license to be lazy. And they feel like that it gives them a license to go all over the country and carry the gospel. I'm going to tell you, until you are a successful, before you can be a successful preacher, you have to have some work ethics, amen, in your everyday life. Amen. There needs to be some work ethics there. You lay around in bed till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then you want to get up and you want to go preach. Come on now. Number one, I'm going to close this pulpit to you. Amen. Come on. Because I don't believe that the ministry has any place for lazy people. Now, saying that, I must preach to you about your mission or your vision and your ministry. I must talk to you about your vision and your work. I must let you know tonight that this church is not carried on by this pastor. And this pastor is not able to carry on the work alone by myself. I realize that some of you think I am Superman, and some of you think I can do it. But I want you to know tonight that I have to have you helping in the vineyard of the Lord. You see, it is. And then I must have, and that's what I want to preach to you tonight, I must have a balance in our church. That's what I'm saying to you about the shouting. You cannot have all shouting and no working. And I fear, and you help me for a little while, I fear that sometimes we as a church, that we are all about worship, and we're all about shouting, and we're all about coming to church, but our outside ministry out of these walls is lacking and very short. Amen. We think ministry is in here. This is not ministry. This is worship. All right, now, what I need you to do, I put that over there for a purpose, okay? Because that's your corner. All right, I want you to go over there. And come on, go over there and stand. Amen. Listen, buddy, I got yours a long ways off. Yours is all the way over in that other far corner, all right? So I need you to get over there. The reason I'm doing that is because when you get over there, you're going to find out you're familiar with them tools. Now, Brother Derwin, you may not be yet familiar, but you will be when we get through, all right? Amen. You will be when we get through. Amen. Now, hey man, I need my deacons up here behind, right back of the in front of Brother Chris. I need y'all up there. Come on, deacons. Come on, you three deacons. Come on, move. I need you up here. I want you standing right here. That's your corner. All right. Hey man. Now, Brother Mellon, I probably am going to need you right over there. All right, because that looks like some things that you know a little bit about. Amen. Now, Sister Edwards, can I have you for a little while? Listen, what I need, would y'all bring me four of them chairs down here? I don't want them to have to sit here on the altar, and I need them down here. Come on, bring me four chairs. Sister Edwards, come on, I need you right here. All right, I need you right here. That row of women right there, that row of women, y'all ain't never been up here at the front like this yet. Come on, I need y'all right up here in these chairs. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, I need you Sunday school teachers. I need y'all to come right up here. Come on, Sunday school teachers. Come on, you three ladies. I got your comfortable seats in. You'll be comfortable here as you are back here. I'm not going to make you sit on that altar. I want you, come on, Sunday school teachers, right back here. Right up here. Sister Tammy, I believe you'll recognize some of that equipment, so I need you right here. Come on, Sister Becky. I got you some equipment right here. Now, Sister Linda, I need you right up here. And Sister Christy, I need you right up here. Come on. Baby, you just got so many hats, I don't know where you're going to get. You're fine right there. Now, the rest of you adults, you kids just stay put, all right? Now, Brother Chuck, I didn't have a place yet for you, all right? Except I do have. Come here. Well, what I should have done. Well, you go get it. You know where it's at. Go in there on the refrigerator and bring my Jacob's Ladder stuff, all right? phone. Because that's your place right now. Now, the rest of you adults, I need you to find a position. Because Brother Shane's alone by himself, Brother Melvin's alone, Brother Derwin's alone. Come on. So, and you don't have to be men, or men and women can go anywhere. If you want to build, or you want to garden, or you want to plant, hey man, and Brother Derwin, Brother Randy, he needs some help over there. Go help him, all right? Brother Ray, you can go over and help Brother Derwin. He probably needs you over there. Because I want you to know that's a mighty important position over there. Now, yeah, you can just stand there and hold that if you want to, or you can sit there on the altar and hold it, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter to me. Come on, you ladies don't want to work? Sister Christy, y'all don't want to work somewhere? Come on. Come on, I need y'all to find your place. You know what? This seems a little foolish, but you got to understand, and I got to do this to get my message across. Now, you ladies, I'm going to tell you, I believe that I have the utmost. No, 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 no. You stay there. I got another job for you. Yes, ma'am. You get your trumpet. You're the tutor. The trumpeter stands by me. I'm going to tell you how it is. This lady right here has been a prayer warrior. She don't sing specials. I've never heard her preach. I've never heard her raise her voice. I've never heard her say an unkind thing about anybody. But I know that when I was 1,500 miles away in California, one day I went to the post office and I got a little letter. You remember that? I got a little letter. And the gist of that was, I know you're a long ways from home, but I'm praying for you. Hallelujah. And these ladies, Sister Mary sang, and Sister Erlene and Sister Dorina, they really don't like being sitting right here right now, if you ask them honestly. I know I feel Sister Dorina just... This is my praying section. Now, I want to tell you what, ladies. No church is successful ever without a praying section. Brother Michael Switzer told about Brother L.D. Moore. And you know, and I know, and if you've been around Brother L.D. lately, and many of you have not, but Brother L.D.'s mind is gone. He has stripped a gear. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just being honest with you. If you go see him and you stay there 15 minutes, he'll tell you the same story five times. He just does not remember. Brother Michael Switzer said there was across the country the other day a young man that told his wife, I'm going to go in. I'm going to resign my church and I'm going to leave. A few minutes, the phone rang. And L.D. Moore, on the other end of the line, said, Son, where are you going to go? And what you going to do when you leave there? No mind, but the Holy Ghost still moved on him. I said the Holy Ghost still moved on him. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can see tonight. We almost don't even have enough people. Sister Tammy belongs over here in this group. Sister Sharon's over there part the time. Brother Melvin's over here by himself, and nobody's here to help him build. I want to tell you what it takes to build a church. You've got to have somebody building. You've got to have somebody sowing seed. Come on. You've got to have somebody sowing seed. You've got to have somebody teaching. But men, you got to have somebody standing guard. Them are not just tools of destruction. Them are tools of warfare. How do you suppose you'd exist if somebody hit you in the head with an axe? How long will you last? They said, we've got a job to do. We've got a wall to build. And the enemy said, I'm going to come in. And they said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to work with one hand. One scripture said half of them was going to work, and the other half was going to carry weapons. And then verse 17 said, amen, that one of us, in one hand, we're going to have a weapon. And the other hand, we're going to have some working tools. Amen. Now, the reason you guys are not there is because I want to tell you something. And you hear me, and you hear me well tonight. Amen. That every bit of this that's standing up here tonight is not really here for my benefit. And really, it's not here for their benefit. Every bit of this that's here is here for your benefit. Because do you understand that one day you are going to need to feel the steps of someone up here? Come on now. Hear me for a minute. And I thought about it, and I don't want to be foolish, but there's my dad, our elder deacon, the eldest man in our church. His hair is white. He doesn't preach as long as he used to. And he's not able sometimes to work as much as he ever did. But I want to tell you, we need that gray hair, and we need that wisdom. Come on. I said we need that wisdom, and we need that knowledge, and we need to listen to instruction. Brother Kevin has been a good deacon, but it's hard to get him serious sometimes. So I wanted to say wisdom and foolishness. You always got to have a balance. Come on now. It's good to smile. And then Brother Darren, his hair's not gray yet. And he don't tell many jokes, and he don't cut up much. But I want to tell you the solidness of Darren Mize. Come on. You got to have that. I said, you've got to have that. Amen. That keeps us on track. Them men never tell me what to preach. Them men never tell me how to run a service. And really, we have very few board meetings. But I ought to tell you that underneath, amen, those men are strong men. Hey, and I ought to tell you that, Brother Chris, amen, you're not the best horn player. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not meaning to hurt your feelings. Amen, but I ought to tell you, when a man, amen, that's been in an accident, when he has a desire to pick up the trumpet or the maracas, and he desires to worship. And so I need you around to blow the horn. Hey, I ought to tell you, listen to me, older people, and listen to me, saints of God, while I'm going to preach to you just a minute. Every one of us sometimes get scattered out on the wall, and we get scattered in our everyday work, and we get scattered in our burdens. Amen. And when we need help, it is never a shame. It is never a disgrace. Amen. And it is foolish pride for you not to come to this church and stand to your feet and say, I need help. Every one of us need help. You say, well, I'm having a pity party. Well, you need to quit having a pity party. And you need to ask for help. And I need Brother Chris to blow the trumpet. And while you're over here and you feel nobody cares about you, we need to sound the alarm. Amen. And then I need the boys. I need the men with the weapons. Come on, guys. Pick you up a weapon. Hey, listen. I know y'all don't understand. Brother Darren, get that big one. Brother Chuck, come here for a minute. Now, you know what that is? Lay that thing down. It's no good like that.
Amen. But lay that thing down. Get a hold of that with him. One of you on the front of it and one of you on the back of it. Hey, I want to tell you, amen, when you get that ram, come on now, and you get some big old boys behind it. Come on, you can't carry it on your shoulder now. Come on, you know better than that. You're fixing to ram the wall. Oh, so how are you going to ram the wall with it on your shoulder? Hey, baby, I'll tell you what, you get some big old boys, and the devil said, I've got them fenced in. There ain't no way they can get out. I'll tell you, when Brother Chris blows the trumpet, hey, amen, the men of war, hey, amen, can bring the ram. Hey, amen, bring the sledgehammer. Bring the axe. Bring the sword. Come on now, and we can win the battle. Now, hallelujah. I need you to. Here. Come here, boys. Hey, man, y'all need it. Here. I meant to have you do this. I meant to have you do that. You need your weapon in your hand. Come on. Come, some of y'all go get these people's Bibles and bring them up here to them. And if you run out, here's some. Here, you can just use these. Come on. Hey, man, get you a Bible. Hey, man, in your hand. Don't ever be without a weapon. Are you hearing me? Don't ever be without a weapon. I said, don't ever be without a weapon. Hey, man, you don't ever know when you're going to meet the devil. Hey, man, we might be separated. We might be a little far away. Hey, we might need one another. Hey, I want to tell you something. Hey, man, the devil doesn't understand the ram. The devil doesn't understand the sledgehammer. Hey, man, the devil does not understand an axe. But he understands the word of God. I said he understands the word of God. And with the sword of the Spirit. Hey, man, I said with the sword of the Spirit. He understands the word of God. But don't ever be ashamed, Sister Mary, to stand up and say, boy, I've been fighting a battle. Sister Karen, don't ever be ashamed to stand up and say, I'm not moving like I need to move. I'm not even moving like I want to move. What that's saying to us is, we're going to gird the sword. Hey, man, we're going to go to Sister Karen's rescue. You know one thing that's wrong with us is that sometimes we judge others by their pedigree before we go help them. I'm going to tell you, this church needs every one of you. And every one of you have a position. You say, well, I don't belong, and I don't feel like I belong, and I don't have a job. Hey, listen to me. Hey, this work is big enough for all of us to work in. I said, this job is big enough for all of us to work in. And I'll tell you one thing, if you'd do, hey, man, if you'd start right here with these four ladies that I've got, and before you pick up your sword, and before you pick up your axe, or before you pick up your Bible, or before you pick up them secretary books, or them choir books, or them paces, hey, man, before you walk into that learning center, if you'd learn the skill of prayer, and you'd learn the skill of touching God, until God touches you, hey, man, your ministry would look different. Some of you, your ministry has become a burden. That's why you're thinking about quitting. That's why you're thinking about laying it down. Now you hear me. That school is probably one of the greatest burdens with one of the least benefits. And you put up with smart mouth boys and stubborn girls. But I'm going to tell you, that school is not Brother Ricky's ministry. Come near me while I preach to you. And when that school, Sister Becky, becomes a burden to you, we need to come back to the altar until our vision is renewed and that school becomes a ministry to us again.
when you're working where you're at and it becomes a burden, you're number one, not going to do a good job. Number two, you're going to look for every reason in the world to get out of there. And number three, you're going to think of every excuse not to do it. And I want you to know that some of you need to come back to this altar, and you need a vision again, and you need a burden again. We are real selfish. My kids are all gone. I don't need that school. Well, if that had been the case, we would not have had school for 10 years because my kids have been gone for a long while. But what about these others that are here? Does nobody have a burden for them? Are they not important to God? Are they not important to you? Some of you women say, well, I'll just put mine back in public school. Have you gone to them hell holes? Have you walked down the halls? Come with me and go eat with me lunch at Middale Taco and see the kids that graduated from the high school that I graduated from. And you listen to their talk. And you look at their dress, and you see them passing alcohol, amen, and condoms, and drugs, and their filthy language, amen. And I ask you, how in the world, in good faith, amen, can you pick up a child out of a godly Christian school? You don't have any problem. You know, you're not a perfect school. You're right. We're not perfect because we have mothers teaching, and we have a human for a principal, and we have parents, amen, that's their little darling. Come on now. And so there are some problems, but I'll tell you, they're not drinking, and they're not cursing, and they're not dressing ever better in the world, and they're not going wild, and you need to sharpen your vision, and you need to pray for a burden. And the church needs to become a ministry. You understand? You know, and I don't want to make this about me because it's not me. But I'm fishing. Cell phones they're like a ball and chain, but they're wonderful sometimes. And I was fishing. And Sister Stephanie called me the other day. I told her I was fishing. I caught the biggest fish I caught while I was talking to you. Matter of fact, I caught 4 fish while I was talking to you. But while I was talking, and Brother Chuck, while I was fishing, I heard that mother, her heartbreaking for that eldest son. Her heartbreaking for her niece's baby. I dropped the phone. I don't know whether you even knew it or not. I dropped the phone while she was talking because I was trying to get a fish off, and I dropped the phone. And I picked it up, and she was still talking. I didn't figure she knew I did. And so while I was fishing, tears started running down my eyes. Not because I was rejoicing because of that eldest son, but I knew the hurt of that mother. I knew the hurt of that mother. And then Sister Stephanie don't call me often. But she called me again. I was on the plane in Chicago trying to get my luggage down and getting off the plane and talking to her. And she broke and started crying. It wasn't that I minded talking to her because my heart was breaking. Because that mother was breaking. And while I'm here and I come into school and I try to settle things down, you know, the other day I was sitting there and Sharon said, I don't understand what in the world, you know, you're gone and so much time.
until I'm gone, and then I make her do what I do when I'm home. And she says, I don't know how you get anything done. Because it's to drive to Chandler to visit Junior in the jail. It's to come off a cruise and go preach a funeral and talk with a family. It's to go to the hospital and visit a baby. It's to go with you when you have surgery. It's to stop and help move an 82-year-old woman. Come on. Hey, man, it's just little things. Hey, man, and then all of a sudden, one of my kids, hey, man, is in trouble. Hey, man, the only thing I know to do is catch a plane because it's too far to drive. And so I pull $700 out of their savings account. Hey, man, and I buy a plane ticket. I have a jet, but I will tomorrow. Hey, man, and I buy a plane ticket. And I fly 1,100 miles. And I walk into service with five of my young people. I take them out to eat and I listen to them. It's because it's my burden. Are you hearing me? This ministry is not a burden to me. I do it because I love it. But I can't do it all by myself. I cannot go to that learning center 4 days a week. It's not that you kids are not important. It's just that I can't do it. Because Sister Becky needs help. Sister Tammy may need me to help. Mom may need me. Sister Dorita may need me. Oh, somebody said, you're saying, no, I want to be there. Come on. That's my duty. That's my job. Hey, man, I love doing it. Brother Melvin, when you call and you say, I need help, it's not ministry, but it is ministry. Come on. And then all of a sudden, I got a burden. And Jacob's ladder's here. And I'm writing a curriculum. And I'm praying for the leading of the Holy Ghost. And then I'm trying to preach. And then I'm trying to study out doctrine again. Amen. So I can teach our new converts and our young people the way of God. Do you hear me? Pastoring is more than just one little job. And I may come by you and I may snip a few limbs. I may dig a little with a shovel. I may work with the hoe, but I need y'all to plant. And the water and the soul. I may come by and encourage you to saw and to drill. Amen. And to build. Amen. And I may help you a little, but I can't stay here. Amen. Because I need to go to the school. Amen. And then I need to get there. And I need to swing the paddle. And I need to talk to young people. Amen. I need to pray with them. I need to record scores. I need to order paces. I need to pay the bills. I need to pay for graduation. Amen. And then I can't stay all the time there. Amen. Because my Sunday school teachers, I need to call their name in prayer. And God will anoint them to teach the Word of God. I'm telling you, we have a ministry. It is not a job. It is a ministry. Then I send these deacons. And I tell them, you go over there and you show them how that's done. I don't want Dad to do it. I want him to show you how to do it. And then give you instruction. And all of a sudden I see the hair raise up on the back of your neck. And you say, had old man come over here and try to tell me how to do it. I know how to do it. Had old woman come over here and try to tell me. When one of these godly sisters come to you girls and they say to you, they don't do it anymore too much. You know why? Number one, kids get mad. And number two, parents get mad. I'm telling you, it takes every one of us as adults to keep this church in operation so this next generation has a place to worship. You're young. You've got a very sweet spirit. Pick up your Bible. We'll borrow that one. That's why I'm putting you in the shadow of a man. You're not taking his place. You're learning from him. Come on. I know he's not as fast as he used to, but don't get in front of him. Let him lead you. Some of you, let me deal with one thing while I'm here, and this is going to make some of you aggravated, but we'll have altar call after a while. Some of you think that coming to church is an option. You're too sick to come to church on Sunday, but you're not too sick to work Monday. You've just told my young people that work's more important than church is, that your job's more important than your ministry is. I'm going to tell you, if your ministry is not the most important thing in your life, you need to sit down till you get a burden and that ministry becomes top priority again in your life. Because this is not money. This is not monetary value. This is eternal value. And when you're gone and you lay out, somebody else has to pick up your share of the load. And if half of y'all are gone and I need some men with a ram, how in the world can we fight the devil with half of you gone? Somebody said, well, you think we don't not to ever miss church? That's not what I said. But I said it ought to be your ministry and your vision. And this ought not to be Brother Ricky's church. This is your church. This is your church. And it ought to be your burden to make this church grow. I'm going to tell you, we ought to be busting the seams. We ought to be buying the property next door and moving this platform and building a bigger building. And we can if we have a church that works together. Well, I'm not going to work with you because I don't like your hairdo. I'm not going to work with you because of your attitude. I hate to tell you this, but most of the time all of us have attitudes every once in a while that stinks. Just some have more bad attitudes longer and more often. We're all human. And we've got to work together for one common cause. And that one common cause is not for my glory. It's so that these right here can have a place to worship. Now, y'all may sit down if there's a chair by you, or you can sit on the platform. I don't want you to sit in your seat yet, but you may sit down if you're tired. And I know some of you probably are. Now, young people, now I'm coming down your row. I'm coming down your row. Are you hearing me? The other night we were talking, and I said to someone, wherever we were at, maybe Brother Chuck and I, we were eating somewhere. And I said to them, I want you to hear me. I said to them, this is the less spiritual group of young people that I've ever pastored. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to look you right in the eyes, girls, when I say what I'm about to say. And I believe that a lot of it is because this holiness has not yet got in your heart. It's still in your head. And you know it's right, but it has not yet got in your heart. And you boys, and you know why I know that some of it's got, you know why I know that it's not in your heart yet? Now you're going to draw up, but just draw up. Because if this was really in your heart, there wouldn't have been a one of you in this sanctuary conducting yourself like you were the other day.
if it was really in your heart, come near me while you would never have desecrated the house of God like that. So while we're trying to prepare you a place to worship and we're trying to keep you a place of holiness, you've got to see if you can push the limits of the lines. Come near me while I talk to you. And I'm not being ugly and I'm not being mean. I love you, or I wouldn't say what I'm saying to you. There wouldn't be so many detentions. There wouldn't be so much unruliness in that learning center if you had this in your heart like it needs to be. Because you know the rules and you would follow the rules because you're a Christian. Come near me while I talk to you. I watch you and you want to shout when Sister Tammy shouts and when someone else prays it down. What happened to the group of young people that I had that prayed it down for themselves? Now, Garrett and Dustin and Sharla and Tamara is gone. Michael's gone. Why have I not had any young people step up to the front and say, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost on me? I'm going to tell you why. Because he's not anointing you. And he's not anointing you because you're just playing around with this. And some of you, if you had your way, you would walk out them doors and you wouldn't come back in here. Because you're not sold that holiness is really right. And you're not convinced that it's going to take it to go to heaven. And you think maybe you can get by with a lesser way. And you'd do it if you could. But when you pray it through till it's in your heart, you're going to walk in that learning center. And you're going to behave like Christians. Listen to me. You're young people and you're children. And you're going to make mistakes. I never throw you out for making a mistake. But I want to tell you, being disrespectful to the house of God is not a mistake. That's a sin. And if you young people have not repented, I know your parents have grounded you. And you know what? And you're getting all I'm going to do to you right now. Because I'm not going to mention it again. And I didn't really mean to mention it in front of all the church. But I'm not calling names and but everybody knows because y'all told everybody. I haven't told anybody, but everybody else knows because everybody else has told everybody. But when you can walk inside this sanctuary and you can desecrate this temple of God, there's no fear of God in your life. And you wonder why there's no anointing, and you wonder why there's no... Is the anointing because Sister Tammy prays? Is the choir anointed because Sister Tammy prays? What about being anointed because you prayed? What about being anointed because you sought God? But you'd rather visit. You'd rather text. I'm going to tell you, this week, setting, and listen to Brother Michael Switzer preach, I felt the Holy Ghost start tearing my heart out. Because I, as your pastor, saw how much time I was playing games on the computer. I never have had a farm. Evidently, one of them preachers talked about the farm, Sister Stephanie. I've never had a farm. But it doesn't matter whether you've had a farm or whether it's cutting tiles or a minesweeper. I fear that your anointing has gone with your game playing. Come near me while I preach to you. you can spend hours texting and I can't get you to pray 5 minutes. That's why you have no anointing. That's why God doesn't move among us. I'm going to tell you, kids, hear me. If you have a holiness church tomorrow, it's going to be because you prayed and the anointing of the Holy Ghost settled on you today to be the example for tomorrow. You know, Michael made a mistake. Garrett made a mistake. Dustin's made mistakes. We've never thrown them out. Come here. I'll tell you what we've done. I've pulled them aside. I've told them where the mistake was at. Sometimes I dealt punishment. Sometimes I did not. Hear me. Do you know that I never put a punishment on your child without praying about it? Do you pray about it before you send a note back to me? Or do you pray about it before you tell them, Brother Ricky's unfair? Come near me while I preach to you for a minute. I'm going to tell you something. You hear me? I'm going to pick on him again. I love you with all my heart. And I'm honest with you. I want my granddaughter to marry a preacher. But who knows what you'll be yet. And I don't know whether that's the perfect will of God or not. I told you I pray about it every day. You can guarantee yourself I do. And you think I don't like you. But you know really what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to knock off the rough edges. And I'm trying to make you a hole in this young man. If you're going to go with that girl, I want her to go, number one, with a hole in this young man. And so my love to you, while it hurts sometimes and you think I don't care, that's not true at all. If you're going to go with her, I want you to be a hole in this young man. Because I want her to be a holiness young lady. And my job as your pastor is to knock the rough edges off. And to smooth you up. And to let you love holiness like your pastor loves holiness. Now can you believe that I'm telling you tonight? So please don't take it. I don't like you. I want you to be a Christian. I want him to go to heaven, don't you? And the only way that he goes is I have to be a pastor to him. And I have to tell you that I love you. And sometimes I tell you you're wrong because sometimes you are wrong. And sometimes things come out of there that ought not to come out. And I have to tell you that's not appropriate. But I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm doing it to present you to God. A holy vessel. Do you boys not understand that? I have no glory in you being angry with me. I have no glory with hurting you. I have no glory with destroying you. But I have glory with molding you and making you. And I'll make you girls a promise. The day that you cease to be my burden and my care and my concern is the day that I will resign this church and I'll go do something else. Because it's not that I don't care. I want to present you faultless before the Lord. That's my obligation. I have no ulterior motives. I have no ulterior motives for preaching this message tonight and moving you out of your seat except to tell you that we're here for you, not to destroy you. I will never send Brother Randy with an axe or Brother Ray with a sledgehammer to work on you, only to drive back the forces of the enemy from you. And then I'm going to close in just a moment. But I brought some little things up here. This little bag was given to me by Brother Melvin. He did me dirty that day. He brought this bag, and I didn't see the bag. But he was sitting in his van or truck or something, and he had it inside there. And he started sticking one thing out at a time. And then he'd take it back. And then he'd stick something else out. He didn't know how bad I needed them right there. And so when he came to them, I grabbed them. And I said, if I get my pick, that's what I want right there. And he took them back. And pretty soon he said, here, the whole bag is yours. I have some very special tools in here. I have no idea. I asked Brother Chris if this was his, and he said it wasn't. This is a Craftsman hammer. And I got this hammer because someone left it here when we was working. It doesn't belong to me. I did not buy it. But I've used it for 5 years or so because somebody left it here and nobody claims it. So I just claimed it. This set of tools right here. You hear me, older people, for just a minute. Those tools right there. They're not tools like that, like Brother Derwin and them's got to fight the devil off with. They're not tools like Brother Melvin's got to build with. And they're not tools like they were using over there to plant with. These are what you call fine-tuning tools. These are specialty tools. And I'll tell you, I watched some of you. Hear me while I preach to you just a minute, older people. And I watch some of you when you think you're spiritual and you think one of these young ones are not doing what they need to do. I watch you come to that specialty toolbox and I watch you head for them young people. And I think, my God, have mercy. Are they going to kill them with that? Surely they won't say that to them. Can I say something and you not be ugly with me? If you're not their parent, and it is a problem that is pretty major, you need to keep your mouth shut. If you need to talk to somebody about it, you call the pastor and you say, listen, I need to talk to you about this. And then I'll go talk to the parents if we need to. And we will gently do what we need to do to help that young person. You keep your mouth shut, lest you destroy them. Do you know the penalty for hurting a little one? It's better for you that a millstone were tied around your neck and you were cast into the ocean than for you to hurt or offend one of these little ones. You say, yeah, but I know what I'm doing. I'm not sure you do. I'm not sure you're qualified. I'm not even sure I'm qualified. And never do I pull out them specialty tools without fasting and praying. Somebody said to me the other day, why did you not handle that quickly? Why did you wait a week? Because I prayed about it every day. And because I pushed my plate back some meals before I went to face that man. You can't solve everything by talking to him. But I'll guarantee you, you can help the problem with everything by praying about it. Boy, it's some preaching, ain't it? But if we're going to grow strong, we got to grow strong together. Because a house divided against itself will not stand. It will fall. It will fall. All right, y'all put your ram up. I suppose I've preached long enough. Sister Becky, I want you to go to the piano. I trust you felt my burden tonight. I trust I've not been just mean, but you see how bad I need you. You see how bad this church needs you. And I want to tell you that my desire for this church is that the Holy Ghost would move among us. And when sinners come in and sit down among us, they can't stay out of the altars. Will it embarrass you for me to ask you how old you are? I can just about tell, but
I'm 80 years old.
You'll be 81. Do you reckon that an 80-year-old lady has to be stove up with arthritis? Do you reckon you have to have sinus problems? Do you reckon we ought to be bound, Sister Doreen, and have to be bound with diabetes? Do you care that some of us are sick? There's no reason that the Holy Ghost can't come in here and heal every person in here that's sick. I wonder why he's not. I fear it's because some of us are taking the shovel. You know what? Do you know that with this hoe and with this shovel and with them pruning shears, in about five minutes, I can go out there and I can ruin your radishes, I can ruin your beets, I can chop down your tomatoes, I can mess up your corn, and throw that hoe down and walk away and destroy Brother Melvin's garden. In about 5 minutes, I can do a lot of damage to a garden. Or I'll tell you what I can do. I can take a half hour and I can go slow around them little vines. And I can break that soil up where when that rain comes, it'll soak in down around them radishes, down around them beets. And when he gets the corn, and when he gets the tomatoes out, and break up that fallow ground to where when the rain comes, they'll grow. It's all in the skillful use of the tools that we carry. Come near me. It's all in the skillful use of the tools that we carry. I lay this morning and I cried like a baby because I understand that one day I'm going to hand you guys a church. And what kind of church am I going to hand you? A church that's worldly? A church that has no standard? A church that has no morals? A church that has no anointing. A church that has no power. Or do we see sinners saved and people healed and the Holy Ghost fall among us? And every bit of it lays in our hands, from the youngest of these to the oldest of these. The destiny of this church, lies in our hands to make it or break it, to save it or destroy it, to have revival or to have a split. It's all in our hands. You choose to talk about everybody else and run people down and cause confusion, or you can choose to pray till we have revival. You're the choice. You're the dividing factor, deciding factor. We go in there, and I told you the other day, I can clamp it down till you'll feel like you're in a reform school. Or you can pray through and get anointed and get God on your life, and you come in there, we can have a perfect school with Christian young people with no demerits. Come on. And no detentions. The school's in your hands. It's not in our hands. It's in your hands. This youth group's in your hands. The choir's in your hands. You're the youth choir. What are you going to do with this choir? Let your mama sing it down and shout it down? Tell what if, and you say, oh, it won't happen, but your dad's pushing it. What if at 45 your dad gets taken away? And if what a few years later your mother gets taken away, then what are you going to do? Do you have enough in yourself to make it? Can you pull through? Can you go to heaven? Or will you be lost? It's up to you. These prayer warriors can pray, but all we can do is pray. It's you that has to put the action to it. Man, I love you, church. You better know I love you. But while I lay there the last 2 mornings praying, and I was working on this, I told you before I left, and I was praying this week, and I said, oh, God, that our church could have a move of God like we've never had before. But what we do with it is all up to us. Come on, it's all up to us. I've done my best tonight to preach to you. I don't know what you're going to sing, but I'm going to tell you,